Echo and Harper Audio present A Life of One's Own, Nine Women Writers Begin Again by Joanna Biggs, read by Hannah Curtis. Vodovica, Francis, Lydia, Melanie, Sam and Jaka, with love. Mary. Around the time I realised I didn't want to be married anymore, I started visiting Mary Wollstonecraft's grave. I'd known it was there, behind King's Cross railway station, for at least a decade. I had read her proto-feminist tract from 1792, A Vindication of the Rights of Woman, at university. And I knew St. Pancras Churchyard was where Wollstonecraft's daughter, also Mary, had taken the married poet Percy Bysshe Shelley when they were falling in love. When I thought about the place, I thought of death and sex and possibility. I first visited at 34, newly separated, on a cold grey day with a lover, daffodils rising around the squat cubic pillar. Mary Wollstonecraft Godwin, the stone reads, author of A Vindication of the Rights of Woman, born 27th April 1759, died 10th September 1797. I didn't tell him why I wanted to go there. I had a sense that Wollstonecraft would understand, and I often felt so lost that I didn't want to talk to real people. People I wanted to love me rather than pity me. People I didn't want to scare. I was often scared. I was frequently surprised by my emotions, the things I suddenly needed to do or say that surged up out of nowhere. Unexpected events had brought me graveside. When I was 32, my 57-year-old mother was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. It wasn't genetic, no one knew why she got it. We would, the doctors said, have 3 to 9 more years with her. Everything wobbled. This knowledge raised questions against every part of my life. Was this worth it? And this, and this. I was heading for children in the suburbs with the husband I'd met at 19. But this life, the one that so many people want, I doubted was right for me. I was trying to find my way as a writer, but jumping from genre to genre, not working out what I most wanted to say, and not taking myself seriously enough to discover it, even. Who do you tell when you start to feel these things? Everything seemed immovable. Everything seemed impossible. And yet, I knew I had to change my life. There was a string of discussions with my husband, threading from morning argument to online chat to text to phone to therapy session to dinner, where we floated ideas about open marriage and relationship breaks, and moving countries and changing careers and dirty weekends. But we couldn't agree on what was important, and I began to peel my life away from his. We decided that we could see other people. We were as honest and kind and open as we could manage while we did this, which sometimes wasn't much. The spring I began visiting Wollstonecraft's grave, he moved out, dismantling our bed by taking the mattress and leaving me with the frame. I took off my wedding ring, a gold band with half a line of Morning Song by Sylvia Plath etched inside. And for weeks afterwards, my thumb would involuntarily reach across my palm for the warm, bright circle that had gone. I didn't throw the ring into the long grass, like women do in the movies, but a feeling began bubbling up nevertheless, from my stomach to my throat. It could fling my arms out. I was free. At first, I took my freedom as a 17-year-old might. Hard and fast and negronied and wild. I was 34, and I wanted so much out of this new phase of my life. Intense sexual attraction, soulmate-feeling love that would force my life into new shapes. Work that felt joyous like play, but meaningful like religion. Friendships with women that were fusional and
Sample complete. Ready to continue?